Amy and Tammy are going to be passing out some bulletin inserts that didn't quite get inserted. It's about missions. I wanted you to see the report from 2024 about God's activity in Southern Baptist missions. Southern Baptist missions, we have several thousand missionaries. Other denominations, Bible-believing groups, have missionaries all over the world. International missions is an important part of what we do as a church. Now, if you're not careful, things that don't seem to affect you apply to you. You can kind of get to where it's out of sight and out of mind. Has that ever happened to you? I don't know about you, but I compartmentalize things. And if it has little to do with me, I just kind of put it in a compartment or a waffle square in my head or a box in my head, and I just don't visit it very often. If that's the case with you, I want to bring that box up. And I want to remind you about the importance of international missions this morning. Now, you may say, but Pastor, this is Christmas. You've only got a short period of time to emphasize Christmas. Why are you preaching on international missions? Well, the reason why Jesus came was for international missions. Jesus was not born in America. And America, it is a mission field. It was a mission field from, you know, the original apostles and disciples. Over the centuries, some people came to our land, our nation, and they have been sharing the gospel with those who were here and those who came. And now America, United States of America, sends lots of missionaries and funds all over the world to support missions. And so if you are a Christian today, and I believe all of you are, you can thank a missionary because someone reached out in missions this morning. Not this morning, but for centuries they reached out. So I want to show you some things about missions. We're going to look at several passages this morning. I want to remind you about mission work, why missions are important, why missions are at the center of what we do, and God's heart for missions. The first passage I want to take you to is Psalm 96 and verse 3. We're going to start out in the Old Testament, so go ahead and get over there in the Old Testament. They will be on the screen, but it won't hurt you a bit to look it up. Psalm 96, 3. Psalm 96, 3. It says, "Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples." This is in the Old Testament. This is a Psalm of David. And in this Psalm, King David is encouraging all the worshipers to declare His glory only among the Jews. Is that what it says? No, not at all. And I'm just making sure you were listening. Psalm 96:3, declare His glory among the what? The nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. It has always been God's plan for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go out to the whole world. It started, God called the Jews. He chose the Israel, but the point of Israel was that He would reveal Himself through Israel, and then the good news of Jesus eventually would go out to all the earth. International missions has been on God's heart. It's been God's plan from the very beginning. And here it's telling us to declare His glory. Tell other people, other nations, tell them about the glory of God. Tell them about His marvelous works. And one of the ways we do that is we pray for and we send and we support missionaries. When they go to another country, what do they do? What are they there to do? How about verse 3? Declare His glory among the nations. That's what they're doing. When missionaries go to the mission field, they are declaring His glory. They're telling of His marvelous works. And the most important of those is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when we are involved in missions, we are declaring the glory of God among the nations. And God's family is a big family. When we think about our church, we might think about all the other churches on every corner in this part of Texas, but there are churches all over the world. Now, they may not look like, you know, it may not have a steeple. Probably doesn't have a steeple. It may be in a meet in a home. It might meet in a trailer park. It might meet under a tree. It might meet in an office building, a garage. It could meet in all kinds of places. But what they are doing is just as legitimate and important as what we're doing here this morning. It's still absolutely as important and legitimate. And so I wanted you to see that King David, the psalmist, declared that we are to declare his glory among the nations. And let me remind you that your mission in life, whether you realize it or not, is to bring glory to God. It's to bring glory to God. And when we're involved in missions, we're not only declaring the glory of God ourselves, but we are spreading the glory of God. We're spreading the knowledge of the glory of God around the world. Another one is 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 23. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 23, and it's 23 and 24. Look what it says. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Now, the way we do that is we share the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the places that missionaries go. And that is what we are to do, and that's what we're doing, is declaring the glory of God, again, the marvelous works of God. It goes on to say in verse 25, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be held in awe above all gods." And so we are, when we send out missionaries, they are declaring the glory of God. They are declaring his marvelous works. They are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. When our missionaries go out and they share the gospel, there are more people joining in the chorus of praise to God. God's family grows, and his glory is known greater around the world. And people are saved. People go from being lost and without hope, and they hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and they believe. They repent, and they believe. And their lives are changed, are transformed. And they begin to declare the glory of God. Before, they didn't care about God. But because of the transforming power of Jesus, they join in the chorus declaring the greatness of God. And I want you to see it says, among the nations. Not just Israel, not just Texas. You know, we think we're our own nation, right? But the whole world. The good news of Jesus is for the whole world. When Jesus came and was born in a barn, a cave, and placed in a manger, the reason why he came was for the world. Not just us, not just Israel, but for the entire world, the whole nation, the nations of the world. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, we're going to look at some passages in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24, I don't hear a lot of Bible turning. That's because you're using your phones, right? You ought to mark some of these. These are good. Matthew 24:14. Listen to this. Jesus is talking about the signs of the close of the age. What will happen before Jesus comes back. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." So when we support missions, when we pray for missions, when we send people into international missions, we're laying the groundwork for Jesus' return. Because it says that it's got to be preached in the whole world. And there are some mission organizations. There are some different groups that have figured out how evangelical missionaries can be in every country of the world by a certain time. And they've done some studies, and they've studied where are missionaries now, what groups, what nations, what language groups have yet to hear the gospel. They're tracking it. And they are saying that something like in some part of the mid-2030s, so say 10 years from now, it's likely that the gospel will have been preached, shared, made available in some manner or form of every nation, every people group. And Jesus said that would happen. Listen again. And this gospel of the kingdom, he's telling them what to look for Jesus to return. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. You see, it's got to go out to all the nations so that people don't say to God, you were unjust because we didn't have a chance to hear the gospel. And so the gospel's being preached everywhere. It is for everybody. And it's to go everywhere so that everybody will have had a chance to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. And no one can say, well, nobody came and told us. We had no idea. You're not fair, God. The gospel is going all over the world. And that's one of the major signs that we wait for. When is the gospel at all times? Now, I don't think we ought to just focus on these people's timelines and their efforts. I appreciate their efforts. I appreciate their timelines. We shouldn't depend on those things. The Bible teaches us that we should always be ready. And how God interprets all nations, I don't know. He may say it has gone all to all nations. He may have spread his gospel to these places. We don't even know how he did it. But the good news of Jesus is to go out to the whole world. Not just Reno. Reno needs it. But to the whole world. And now look with me in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 14. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 14. I'm wanting you to see this morning how missions is throughout the whole Bible. You say, well, you're sharing a lot of verses. I could share a lot more. So just hang on. Romans 10, 13 through 14. It says in Romans 10, 13 through 14, he's reminding us, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I want you to let that sink in a minute. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you may be thinking about Christmas shopping right now or lunch. But folks, that is important. That is significant. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we got to get to the everyone's, right? We got to get the word out to the everyone's. But it goes on to say this in verse 14. It says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they going to hear without someone preaching? You got to send men and women everywhere so that they can hear the word of God. They can hear it preached and declared to them in their language, in their culture. And so he reminds us that the gospel is for everyone. Everyone who calls the name of the Lord. And then he asks us, how are they going to believe, call on him that they have not believed? How are they going to believe in him? They've never heard about him. How are they going to hear without someone preaching? The person reading Romans is supposed to be going, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, those are rhetorical questions where it's like, yeah, yeah, oh yeah, right? He's baiting us a little bit to help us to see that, yes, we have to send people so that people can hear. Amen? And that's what churches, the great commission of Jesus, sending international missionaries, North American missionaries, Texas missionaries, that is part of, it's a giant part of who we are as a church. All right, a couple more. Luke chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Now we're getting into the Christmas story. See, I'm trying to make this Christmassy, and it's not hard because it's all the same story. Luke 2, chapter 28 through 32. Now, I love this because I like kids. But in verse chapter 2 and verse 28, you remember when Jesus' parents, mother, Mary and Joseph, they took him to the temple to be dedicated, and they had these weird people come up to them that they didn't even know. And there was an older lady that gave blessings on Jesus. And then there was a man who came up and started prophesying over Jesus. You know, as a new parent, we got new parents in. Isn't that weird when people come up to you? Yes, no. I'm looking over Lisa. Do what? Oh, she's just borrowing right now. We're waiting for grandkids. So they go to the temple to present Jesus, and these people come and prophesy about him. And Simon is one of them, or Simeon. Look at him in verse 28 through 32. Look what he says. He took him up, Jesus, in his arms, and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. What does that mean? I can die now. That's what that means. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What has he seen? He's seen Jesus, right? He's seen the promised one of God that you prepared in the presence of all peoples according to God's plan for all peoples. Look at verse 32. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. They went in the temple. This man takes Jesus in his arms and begins prophesying this stuff. Mary and Joseph had to be going, oh, you know, they must have really, it must have thrown them off. And one of the things that he says is that Jesus is going to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now, we've talked about Gentiles. They're not a special, you know, like a reptile. They're completely different. But a Gentile is a non-Jew. If you're not a Jew, if you didn't know before, you're a Gentile. So this is talking about you. Jesus is a light for the revelation of God, the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the non-Jews. You and me. Jesus was to be a light, not only to Israel, but a light to the whole world, all the peoples of the earth. And then he says also, and for the glory to your people, Israel. Jesus is for everybody. The gospel is for everybody. International missions is for the whole world. And Simeon prophesied about the salvation that Jesus would bring and the light that he would give of revelation to the Gentiles. And then in Acts chapter 13 and verse 47, it tells us what the disciples reported. Acts chapter 13 and verse 47. So we have seen the Old Testament. We've seen some in the New Testament. And we're going to see some others here in the New Testament. So in Acts chapter 13 and verse 47, it tells us this. So in verse 44 of that passage, it tells us that Paul and Barnabas were preaching. And in verse 47, Paul reports, for so the Lord has commanded us. This is the missionary group of Paul and Barnabas. You see, the early church, as soon as they were filled with the Spirit, they began to obey the great commission of Jesus and be witnesses. And Paul and Barnabas were out preaching, and this is one of the things that he reports about how God had commanded them. It says in verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us. So Paul and Barnabas, apostles, he's saying, this is what we're doing. I have made you a light for the Gentiles. Does that sound familiar? Must be something to it. That you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. In verse 48, it won't be on our screen, but listen to this. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. So the apostles understood, they had been told by the Lord himself that they are light for the Gentiles. And that's good, because we're Gentiles. You can thank God that his plan included the non-Jews like you and me. And it says in the middle that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When we are participating in international missions, we are partnering with the plan of God for people all over the world. And that passage comes from Isaiah 49:6 as well. So he's quoting Isaiah 49:6 as he reports on what they are doing. And how did the people respond to it? Well, it's almost lunchtime, preacher, so make it quick. No, it says when they heard it, they began rejoicing and glorifying God. when they heard that the good news was for everybody, they were happy about it. I hope you're happy about it this morning. They were rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Because Paul was a Jew, Barnabas was a Jew, but they were excited that God had included everybody. That God's plan was for everybody. And you and I should be happy because we are part of everybody. Two last verses, very important, Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul, you might actually get to leave on time. It's funny, different ones of you tell me you have to leave early. I always wonder, why do they tell me that? So maybe I'll quit early, I don't know. Acts 1:8. This is one of the famous passages in the Bible. Jesus, right before he ascends, right before he goes back to heaven, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Those are some of the parting words of Jesus. He's telling them, you will be my witnesses. My disciples are going to go out and they are going to testify to the world about what they have seen and what they have heard. But I want you to see that their mission was going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Notice that. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's in at Pentecost, a chapter over. You will be my witnesses. And so when we share the good news of Jesus, when our international missionaries share the good news of Jesus, they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's good news because we need help. We are weak. We are reluctant. We get distracted. But God has given us His Spirit to help us do His work. And so notice that it says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. They were near Jerusalem. He says, you're going to start right here. And then you're going to go to Judea. That's a region close there. And Samaria, a little farther out. And then it says, and to the end of the world. You see God's plan stated over and over and over. Old Testament, New Testament, the gospel, the good news of Jesus is to go out to the entire world. You will be my witnesses. He's not just talking to super Christians there, whatever a super Christian is. He's talking about everybody. All disciples, we are to be His witnesses. You say, well, I don't do international missions. I'm not interested in international missions. I'm too old to go on international mission. And that may be true, but you can pray for international missions. You can study and learn more about who to pray for international mission. And you can give to support international missions. You may not be able to go personally, but you can help make sure that someone else can. And that is important. We are all to be witnesses. And then I'll close with perhaps one of the most famous verses in all the Bible. And I share this one constantly. I hope you never get tired of it. If you do, I don't know what to do for you. But Jesus left us specific instructions on what we are to do. And it's international mission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, go therefore, let me back up here to 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. This is right before he ascends again. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We are to be making disciples of people from all nations. The nations, it's not the country, it's the people in the country, right? We're not colonizing, we're evangelizing. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Some important things there. One is that when we are carrying out the Great Commission, Jesus is with us. He says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Another thing I want to mention is, if we had a missionary this morning, and that'd be great, but most of them are at work around the world today. If we had an international missionary here today, and we asked them, so what do you do in Tanzania, wherever you might be? I promise you what they would report in one way or another is they would say, well, we make disciples of all nations, we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we teach them to observe everything that Jesus has commanded. international missionaries are working to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, just like we are. What are we to do? We are to do the same thing. What is the church to do? We are to, in Reno, go therefore make disciples of all nations. Everybody in Reno, that's our mission field. And then we send others to other places, and they are to do the same thing. This is what Jesus left us to do. Until He returns, we are to be making disciples of all people. One of our mission statements is, what is the mission statement of Walnut Creek? It's make disciples. I've told this story before, but I'm sure y'all were thinking about lunch when I said it. But there was a church where we used to live, and they were a pretty big church, and they paid a firm to study the missions, ministry, and vision of their church. There was a lot of hush-hush around it, and they spent like thousands of dollars to a PR firm to look at all their documentation and their mission and their focus and all these things. And then finally they said the committee, the team, is ready to report about their mission statement. And I was the mission pastor for this particular church. I was interested. I couldn't wait to hear what they came up with. And this is what they came up with. Well, after much study, we have determined that the mission of our church, you ready for this? Make disciples. Seriously. If you go look them up, I'm not going to tell you who they are unless you ask after church. But if you go to their website and you look up mission statement, it says, make disciples. Now, I tell you that story because it doesn't matter how much money you spend and how long you study. The mission of every church is Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And the mission of every missionary around the world is Matthew 28, 19, and 20. That's what Jesus left us to do. It's kind of like your mom leaving you a note of what you're supposed to accomplish before she gets back. And we aren't to be like most kids and fool around until we hear gravel on the tires. We best be about what mom has left us to do, right? More than that, we best be about doing what the Lord has left us to do. Amen? So, if we're not careful, this is a busy time of year, is it not? I was telling somebody this week from whatever day it was that week until Christmas is over, we got something almost every night. We got parties to go to, people to see, places to go, and I love it. I'm all about it. I got rehearsal to go to for the First Baptist Springtown music choir thing. I'm a narrator. They got pastors narrating the thing. It's funny to watch. Some of you will see it, but we've got something all the time. And I don't want missions to get lost in the busyness. Our church historically has strongly supported international missions and North American missions, Texas mission. And I don't want international missions to get lost in all of the Christmas activities that we have. International missions is at the core of what we do. And I would go so far as to say that if a church is not interested in international mission, they probably ought to turn the lights out. It's not just something we do, it is. And so I want to encourage you to pray for international missions, not just in the month of December, but all year long. I'm going to give you a website, www.imbinternationalmissionboard.org. imb.org. They have a fantastic website. Really good. Whoever does their website, kudos to them. But they have information, and you can sign up to receive emails with prayer requests. And you can get real-time prayer requests from the mission field that you can stop and pray for throughout the day. And they have a thing where international missionaries, on their birthdays, they send out the names of the international missionaries that they can reveal. Some of them are in dangerous places and they can't be known. But they'll send an email with all of their birthdays. And they'll say, you know, today is the birthday of these missionaries. Would you pray for them? Here's something cool I heard about. That is that sometimes the international missionaries will wait to do something difficult until the day of their birthday, because they know that there are going to be tens of thousands of Southern Baptists praying for them on that particular day. So if they have someone, like if they got to meet with an Indian chief or something, I don't know, meet with a tribal chief, if they've got to, you know, speak to city council, or they got some sort of door that they need open to the gospel, they will wait till their birthday because they know that tens of thousands of people are praying for them. Okay, I'm going to meddle just for a minute. Some of you may wonder, Why does God have me on this? There's not much I can do. And I want to encourage you to have a ministry of praying for international. This website that they have, the resources that they have, you could keep up with what God is doing in missions all over the world. You could help us as a church know more about it. And you could spend time in prayer every day. Some of you can't do much physically, and you just sit in a chair, and you can pray. God would use you to pray for international missionaries. It could be a personal ministry for you. And God would bless it, don't you think? You don't have to pray about that one. Lord, should I pray for missionaries? Yes. Yes. Lord, is it your will that I pray for missionaries? Yes. You don't even have to ask me. It is God's will that you pray for international missionaries. So I don't do this very often, but this is a passion. I want to ask you to give. You know, I don't do this very often, but this is on my heart. All the money that you might give toward this Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international mission, every bit of it goes directly to supporting the missionary. None of it is taken out by our church. None of it is taken out by the International Mission Board. Every bit of it goes into supporting missionaries and for them to have the money that they need to do ministry. 100%. Nobody, no fat cats. Nobody's getting rich on this. It's 100% goes to the mission. And I'd like to ask you to give sacrificially. And if you can't, give what you can. Just something. $5, $10, $2, something. Give to international mission. I don't get anything from it. They're not going to send me a pen that said, good job, Pastor. You met your goal. They don't send me a goal. They don't give me a quota. That's not how Baptists work. I don't get any benefit from this other than knowing that we are doing our part to support international. And you can do it a couple ways. You can put an offering in the box in the back today, or you can do it throughout the month of December, or you can give online at www.walnutcreekbaptistchurch.com/give. And I sent most of you an email yesterday about international mission with a link to the mission board and also on how you can give to missions through our church on our church website. So if you don't have any money today, you can go on the website and give, or you can wait the next couple of Sundays. But this is worth giving this much attention and for me to say this much about international. It's at the heart of God, and it glorifies God. Let's pray together.